in your lifetime ever cried? Well, I don't know, some of you may be weird and some of you may never have shed a tear in your entire life. But I'm sure that at some point in your life, you've cried. You've cried about something, or you've cried for someone. You know, maybe you've shed a tear when losing a loved one. Maybe you've shed a tear because of a difficult situation in your life. Maybe you've shed a tear from watching a film. We always used to giggle at home because my father-in-law would cry even during the Andrex advert. He would cry at absolutely everything. It didn't have to be a really sad film. And I don't know if you've ever seen a film that has just suddenly caused you that emotion of sorrow because of whether it's a piece of music has brought a tear to your eye, because of a situation you're in, because of a film you've watched, because of anything, because of upset or hurt. And I think it's hard in this life that crying is a fact of life. The amount of tears that we've shed in our household over the past few months, we could probably fill the baptistry up with. You know, there isn't a day that goes by that a tear is not shed. And wouldn't it be nice when we come to a point where we don't have to cry anymore? You know, we cry because of loss, but wouldn't it be nice when there's a day when there'll be no more loss? We cry because of heartache, but wouldn't it be nice when that day comes when there is no more heartache? We cry because of sorrow, but wouldn't it be nice when a day comes that there is no more sorrow? We cry because of pain, but wouldn't it be nice when there comes a time when there'll be no more tears because of pain? And I just want to look at the fact that one day there will be no more tears. No more tears. Isaiah 25 and verse 8 says, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him, he will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day, for this time together, and for this opportunity to come around your word. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Each and every one of us in this building, each and every one of us watching online has shed a tear at some point in our lives. Maybe there are those watching that have shed their fair share of tears in these past few weeks. Maybe there are those watching who are fed up of crying. And Father, sometimes we cry so much that we feel like we've exhausted our tear ducts. And Father, I just pray that you would give us comfort today, knowing that there's a day coming when there'll be no more tears. So, Father, I just pray that we would take not only encouragement from that, but there would be a hope for us, because one day God himself shall wipe away all tears and there will be no more. We just pray now that you would comfort those who are hurting and struggling, and that this message would be a source of hope for those that are facing battles today. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we understand that this passage of scripture is part of a prophecy relating to the millennial kingdom, and it relates to a point in time when Christ will return and set up his kingdom upon the earth, when Christ comes and reigns in power. And we look forward to that day. I really feel sorry for the amillennialist, because in their theology, there is no hope. What is the point of life if this is as good as it's going to get? If there is no kingdom, then what is the point? If we are in the kingdom now, then I can say this to you 100%, the kingdom is an absolute disappointment and the kingdom is an absolute waste of time. But there is a kingdom coming, and there is a point in time when the Lord Jesus Christ himself will return. He'll return first of all to receive his church unto himself, and then he will return a second time. When he returns next, he'll receive the church in the air. When he returns the second time, he will come with the church to the earth. And then he'll set up his kingdom upon this earth for 1,000 years. And after that, there will be eternity. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. And we will be with Christ forever. And this is a message of hope and promise, not just to the Jewish people, because they sought a kingdom. That's what Christ came to do. He came to the Jew first, and he preached about the kingdom. So they have been promised a kingdom. And we looked at this a couple of months ago when we studied the millennium and in regards to covenants being fulfilled that God made to Abraham and to David and to Moses and to David and to the land covenant, they will all be fulfilled. But yet we ourselves can take great hope from this passage of scripture, because Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for the day when the Lord will actually wipe away all of our tears, because there'll be no more sorrow. No more parting, no more pain, no more death, no more separation, because all of those things, all of those former things will be passed away once and for all. You know, the one thing that I couldn't wait to do if, as a child, if you fell, and you know, why is it that when you used to fall, I don't know if it's the same today now as kids, when you used to fall as a child, you always used to get bits of stone stuck in the palm of your hand. And I'm not, does that still happen to kids today? I'm not sure. Perhaps it's like health and safety has gone so mad now that you no longer have stones on the ground when children. But you also have stones caught in the palm of your hand. And whenever you fell, grazed a knee, you'd run home just to have that comfort of being on mom or dad's lap. And mum would always say, come on, dry your tears, dry your eyes. And there was that feeling of comfort just being, all right, I'm safe now. Even though the pain, you know, we're still there, and mum being a nurse, TCP was applied to everything. Like, why would you do that? It's an open wound. It's hurting enough as it is. Yeah, this will help. No, it's not helping. But then there'd be a time that the pain went away, and it just felt comforting to be up on mom's lap. And I think that's kind of the point Isaiah is making here to the children of Israel. At the moment, times are tough. But there's coming a day when you'll be safe in the presence of your Father and he'll wipe away all tears. And there is a better day coming for us. There is a day coming where we can look forward to. We can look with anticipation. We can look in hope. And no matter how bad it gets on earth right now, no matter how bad the pain is, no matter how bad the suffering is, no matter how bad the sorrow is, there is coming a day when God will wipe away all tears. He'll wipe away the tears of death. He will swallow up death in victory. Death has a universal impact on our lives. And whilst we take comfort in the fact that somebody who knows Christ as their Savior is absent from the body but present with the Lord, doesn't alter the fact that we miss them. And that physical loss is painful. And yeah, we take joy that they're in heaven, and we rejoice that they're in heaven, and we rejoice that we'll see them again, but it's not fair because they're not here now. But one day God will take away even the tears related to death. We recognize that it's appointed unto man once to die. We recognize that because sin entered into the world through Adam, and sin passed upon all men. And when God said to Adam, because of that now, because of the fall, death has come upon the earth. We recognize the fact that because of Adam's sin, and that sin has passed on to all men, so has death passed on to all man. We can't get away from it. We're surrounded by it every single day. And if the Lord doesn't return in our lifetime, guess what? We'd all come face to face with the fact that we too will have to walk through death's door. Now, for the Christian, that's an exciting prospect, because we'll finally get to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We'll finally get to see the one that we sing about every week. We'll finally get to see the one that we read about every single time we open the scripture. We'll finally be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Christ has conquered death for his people. We're going to celebrate that now in a few weeks when we come to Resurrection Sunday. We're going to celebrate the fact that Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. That there is no fear in death for the believer in Christ. There is no sting in death for the believer in Christ. There is no victory in death for the believer in Christ. For the believer, it's an exciting prospect because we don't fear death. But Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said to Timothy, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." If I was to say to you, what do you think of when you hear the word departure? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? The first thing that comes to my mind is the departure lounge in the airport. And you know, when you're going on holidays or anything, once you get through the stress and pressure of the bags underweight, we're only allowed 23 kilograms. Are they underweight? Are they going to be okay? Are we going to get charged £65? Are we going to be there in the airport opening our bags and everybody can see every item of clothing that we're taking on holidays? And then we're trying to put on clothes so we can may as well go on the plane with 5 jackets on just so we can get that weight down. Or we're trying to shove things into carrier bags and then we end up like the bag lady going onto the plane and we're stressed. Is it going to be underweight? And then you've got to go through security. Now, you know you're innocent. You know you're not a terrorist. But you feel so panicked. You know, when you walk through that, what's the matter with us? You're like, as you're about to go through the metal detector, and you can see it on people's faces. You know, they get through that metal detector, they're so panicked, they go, oh. They didn't go off. They're suddenly like a spring in their step. They suddenly start walking faster and say, oh. But then those where the little light goes off, there's a panic. And then you see these like little old grannies and, you know, stood there petrified with their arms out as they wandered and padded down. And that's all stressful. But then we get through to the departure lounge and it's like, oh. Finally, can I say this? And that might sound a bit ridiculous to get to this point, but life is stressful because we fret about everything. Just like we fret about our luggage. Have we got enough stuff? Is it going to get through? Is it going to be tagged? Is it going to turn up? Are we going to get through security okay? Are they going to flag my bags? Are they going to search? Is this going to be allowed through? And then as soon as we get through, it's like, oh, finally. You can relax a bit. Life is stressful. But Paul talks about his departure. He doesn't talk about his death like it's a solemn thing. He talks about his departure. The word for departure was a sailor's term, literally meaning to loose the moorings so that the ship could set sail. It was used by armies when they talked about taking down the tents and moving to a new location. It was used by a traveler to speak of taking the saddle off the horse and putting the horse into stall to rest. It was a legal term, speaking of taking off shackles from a prisoner and setting them free. Paul said, "My departure is at hand." Paul didn't see his death as a sad end to life, but as a new adventure. You see, for those who know Christ and have gone on before us, it's not sad for them. They're absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's sad for us. We are the ones who shed tears because they're no longer with us. But God said one day he'll wipe away all tears because there'll be no more departing in that regards. Death has been abolished where we go. And no longer will we ever follow a loved one to the cemetery. No longer will we ever view them in a coffin. No longer will we ever shed a tear for losing those that we love because we'll be with them forever. Because if they are absent from the body and present with the Lord and we are absent from the body and present with the Lord, then we'll see them again. God will wipe away all tears. There'll be no more tears because of death. But God will also wipe away the tears of heartbreak. The Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. You know, every family, every home, every individual at some point has been affected because of sin. How many times have you shed tears because of a wayward child? How many times have you shed tears because of harm that's come to the home? How long have you shed tears because of a situation that you find yourselves in? It just leads you to utter despair. Maybe you've turned on the news this week and are just absolutely in shock because of what's going on around the world. Maybe you've shed tears because of the millions of people that have been affected by what's going on in Ukraine. And we can't understand it. And guess what? We'll never understand this world, because this world is full of heartache. And maybe you've faced some kind of heartache this week. The world is a veil of tears. The Bible makes it clear. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Trouble just follows us. Everywhere we go. It doesn't mean that we are troublemakers necessarily. But we live in this life where we are surrounded by trouble. We're surrounded by pain. We're surrounded by heartache. But even in the midst of heartbreak right now, Christ can give us the victory. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, we understand that one day all heartbreak will be taken away. One day when we're with the Lord, we won't have to turn on the news and see man's inhumanity to man. We won't have to turn on the news and see the wickedness of man prevailing. We won't have to look at the wickedness of man anymore, because one day that heartache will be gone and it'll be no more. You know, the devil squeezes us continually. But here's the thing, sometimes that's a good thing. If you were to squeeze a lemon, what would you get? Yeah, what kind of juice? Lemon juice. If you squeeze an orange, what would you get? Orange juice. The point I'm trying to make is this. When you squeeze, whatever's on the inside will come out. When the devil squeezes us, we need to take that as an opportunity to let the light and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ come out even more than it did before. A day will come, though, when we'll be squeezed no more. The day will come when the Lord will heal all the broken hearts. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, for his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. One day he will wipe away the tears of heartache. One day he'll wipe away the tears of persecution. The rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. God speaks of the trials that his people endure simply because we claim the name of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, in this world you will have a tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, look, the world hates me. And guess what? If you claim me as your own, then they'll hate you as well. Right now, it's not popular in the world to share your faith. Right now, it's not popular to stand up in public and say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You can stand up in public and you can proclaim a whole host of things that the world will cheer for. You know, it boggled my mind that when Philip Schofield came out of the closet and said, you know, I'm gay, the world cheered. The world didn't turn around and say, well, hang on a minute, you've been having an affair, even with whatever sex, you've been having an affair against your wife. But he was applauded and cheered and lifted up. And yet somebody comes on the news and says, I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then you're ridiculed. You're not allowed to have any kind of moral uprightness in the world today, because you're a prude, you're a bigot. You know, I made one comment back when we were studying Revelation. I didn't make a derogatory comment. I just said that the LGBT community had lobbied, I think it was Barclays Bank, and they stopped a bank account of a Christian charity. That's all I said. It wasn't derogatory. the amount of hatred we had geared towards us as a church because I'd made that statement. I'm not homophobic at all. But I believe what the Bible says. I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that sex should be saved for marriage. I believe that people shouldn't live together in sin. I believe that they should be married first and then... No easy way to put that. But you understand what I'm saying. But you were looked on as a weirdo. And you're persecuted for that. You look at what happened with Asher's Bakery. And they were literally destroyed. Simply because they said, well, hang on, we believe marriage is between a man and a woman. But you're not allowed to say that. Why not? That's my belief. Your belief is that marriage can be between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. And if that's your belief, that's fine. You're entitled to believe that because we live in a free society where people are allowed to express their beliefs. But this is my belief, based on what the Bible says. But today, because of political correctness, you will be persecuted because of that. But one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And guess what? You will live in a land based on his standards as a born-again believer in Christ. Today, our faith is mocked. Today, we're ridiculed because we stand upon the Bible. Today, we're laughed at because we're old-fashioned for having moral standards, or we're classed as homophobic or Islamophobes or bigots or whatever it might be, just because we believe what the Bible says. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate somebody whose sexual orientation is different to mine. I love them. And I want them to come to know Christ as their Savior. I don't hate anybody. But if you express that, then you're part of the problem and not part of the solution. There is coming a day, and we're not far away from it, where this Bible will be banned. And the left-leaning media will twist and turn everything to suit their agenda so they can come after you. Because you're part of the problem. There's coming a day when this old world and those who don't know Christ as their Savior will wish they did. Because one day Christ will wipe away all the tears of persecution. And we're not persecuted yet, good night. If somebody, our worst form of persecution at the moment is just being called a Bible basher. Our worst form of persecution at the moment is the fact that you might be scorned or laughed at because you go to church. But the more and more these laws are passed in Parliament, the harder and harder and harder it's going to be to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. How incredible that even in the book of Revelation, you notice if you read Revelation, you don't find many atheists in the book of Revelation. Even those who refuse to call upon the name of the Lord know he exists, but they refuse to call upon his name, and instead they ask for the rocks to fall upon them just to take them away from the judgment that is poured out upon this earth. Can I just say this today? Don't be ashamed of your relationship with Christ, wherever you are. And if you are persecuted, praise the Lord, because the Lord himself is persecuted. In a few weeks' time, we're going to look at the greatest persecution that a man ever suffered when Christ died upon the cross for us. But one day, there'll be no more persecution. One day, we'll be able to worship Christ freely, perfectly. One day, we'll be with Christ. And then there'll be no more persecution. And finally, he'll wipe away the tears of waiting. In verse 9 he says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And this pictures the Jewish people finally seeing their Messiah. after having waited for him for thousands and thousands of years. We understand that through the Old Testament, they were all pointed towards the Messiah. And even though Christ came when he did, and the Jewish people missed that, because they were looking for a Messiah from the line of David that would be like David, that would be a conquering king, that would do away with Roman oppression, that would bring in the rule again that once was enjoyed under the kings like David. And when that Messiah didn't come, they didn't look for a suffering Messiah. They looked for a conquering Messiah. So the first time round, he was rejected. But the scripture says one day, they will look on him whom they've pierced, and they will say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. When the Jews finally see their Messiah after having waited for him for so long. You know, today the enemy mocks us and says, where's his coming? Paul said that the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and then so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And yet the enemy says, well, where is he? If he's coming, why hasn't he come yet? And all I would say to that is praise the Lord that he hasn't come yet. Because there are souls that need to be saved. There are people that need Christ as their Savior. And if the Lord were to come right now, then the next thing on the agenda for those who've rejected Christ is something called the tribulation. And that is not a pleasant moment of time at all. And sometimes we get disappointed because the Lord hasn't come yet. I remember staying in my nan and gamper's, and my gamper was absolutely lush. I loved my gamper. My nan was a nightmare. I'm only saying that now because Dad is now, your dad is out preaching today, and it was Dad's mum. So I've always been like fairly suntanned my whole life. I think somewhere along the line there must have been some kind of Mediterranean genes in the family line somewhere. And I would stay at my nan's, and she would take a scrubbing brush and carbolic soap, and she would scrub my neck because it was dirty. I'm like, Nan, this is child abuse. This is hurting. Oh, your neck is dirty. Yes, because this is suntan. Sunday morning, when Mum and Dad would come and pick me up, my grandparents lived in 30 Penegadig Road. Back then, it was like next to no traffic on the road, and you could hear cars coming up the road, and I'd be in the window on a Sunday morning. As soon as I woke up, my mum and dad may not be coming till after lunch, but as soon as I got up, I'd be in the window waiting for mum and dad to come home, to come and pick me up. And there was that expectancy. There was that excitement. Even with all the pain that I'd suffered with the carbolic soap and the hand scrubbing brush, even with all the psychological pain I'd suffered with my nan saying, you love your other grandmother more than me, than you. To which I'd reply, yes. Because she doesn't scrub my neck like you do. Despite all of that, Sunday morning would come and there'd be an excitement. And I'd be in the window. And every time a car would, you know, we could hear the tires and the coming up the road. Oh, you'd look with expectancy. It's like, oh, it's not them. And then you'd hear another car coming. It's like, oh, it's not them. And that's the feeling we have as believers in Christ. He's not returned yet, but he will. Every single day that we wake up should be, oh, it's not yet. And there should be that expectancy. There should be that excitement because that's his plan. He said he's gone to prepare a place for us. But because he's gone to prepare a place for us, he's coming back to receive us. He's going to receive us unto himself. Why? So that where he is, there we may be also. One day we will get to spend that eternity with him. One day we'll be able to praise him like he deserves. If you look at verse 9, and it will be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We will praise him because of his steadfastness. This is our God. We serve a steadfast God. Lamentations 3:23 says that his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. How incredible to know that that's the God whom we serve. We praise him because of his sovereignty. He is called God. He is called Lord. And it gets tough at times here on earth. It gets difficult at times here on earth. And sometimes we're not able to pray like we should. Sometimes we're not able to praise like we should. Sometimes we're not able to worship like we should. But one day we'll get to see him. One day we'll be able to worship him as he fully deserves. No more will we feel like we're on our knees in our prayer closet and our prayers are not even getting past the ceiling of our own home. And one day we'll be able to come in face to face. We'll praise him because of what he's done for us. This is the Lord. We've waited for him. We'll be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Sometimes we don't appreciate our salvation as fully as we should. Sometimes we don't appreciate what God has done for us as fully as we should. Why? Why don't we appreciate it? Because we don't have a full concept of what hell is like. We don't. I think it was William Carey who said that if saints could be just have a small glimpse or a smell or to hear what hell is like, their witnessing would be different when they went out onto the streets. Yeah, we understand that hell is torment and blackness and darkness forever, where the worm dieth not. We understand that that hell is a place where it burns with fire and brimstone. Yeah, we understand that was what it says in the scripture, but we have no full concept of what hell is like for those who are lost. But one day we will, and we'll realize what Christ has saved us from. We have no full concept of the dangers of sin. Otherwise, we wouldn't keep committing sin like we do. We have no full concept of what put Christ upon the cross. You know, sometimes we make excuses and say, oh yeah, well, it's okay because, you know, God will forgive me. Yeah, but that's what nailed Christ to the tree. Sometimes we don't understand our salvation fully because we have no full concept of hell. We have no full concept of the dangers of sin. We have no full concept of what heaven is like. We don't have a concept of what Christ has saved us from. We don't have a concept of what Christ has saved us because of. And we have no concept of what Christ has saved us to. But one day we will. And then we'll be able to praise him because of his salvation. And one day God will wipe away the tears of waiting. At this moment in time, we are waiting for him to come. But he's not here yet. So we still have to go through the struggles of life. We have to go through the daily struggles where our bodies, as we get older, our bodies ache. Wouldn't it be nice one day to have a new body? You know, it's incredible when you wake up. I don't think it was that you're under 30. Is anybody under 30? A couple of people, okay. Ross, did you put your hand up then? So that's a stretch. As soon as I got to 40, it was like the Lord just flicked this switch, and all of a sudden, like, what? How is that aching now? And then this is aching. And then that starts, and you're like, what? Why? What's this pain? You know, my parents always used to say to me, don't click your fingers. Oh, don't click your fingers, you'll have arthritis. And then you used to go up, and then you used to go. And then you wake up in the morning, and then one day you're like, oh, my hands are hurting. Oh, there's a little bit of pain in there. Perhaps I should have listened to my parents and not clicked my fingers in the first place. But our bodies fail. You know, we sometimes scratch our heads when our cars get to a point where it doesn't pass the next MOT and it doesn't pass the service. Why? Oh, because there's like 450,000 miles on the clock. And I've only had the car for 4 years. But yet these bodies, the older they get, the less they work. And things start to go wrong with them. You recognize that the warranty hasn't run out yet. But it feels like we're running out of replacement parts. So there's a waiting for the Lord to come back because of our body's physical ailments as we get older. You're like, oh, it'd be nice for the Lord to come back today now and not feel that aching in my knees and not feel that aching in my joints and not feel that aching in my back. And it'd be nice for the Lord to come back because of the suffering we go through every day. Because the world is such a wicked place and it is getting more and more wicked by the second. It's getting harder and harder and harder to be a Christian. You know, perhaps people in America don't see it as much, but I remember the first time I went to the States back in 2003 as a believer. I went over to a Bible conference with Pastor Ed and I was just blown away. It was like, oh, my days, is like Christian bookshops everywhere. Everybody was so polite. You know, when they said have a nice day, they meant it. Everybody would hold the door open for you and was like, this is like a different planet. This place is incredible. And then you'd walk into these churches and the churches were packed and, you know, they had all these facilities and you're like, oh, my days, how easy is it to be a Christian over here? And then you'd go back the next year and you'd be like, oh, it's not as it was last year, but it's still better than the UK. And then you'd go back and back and back. And then you're like, blimey. Churches are not as full anymore. The Christian bookshops have all closed down. They're not selling the Bibles in Walmart like they used to when I first went. And slowly, everywhere is spiritually declining. Sometimes we get fed up of waiting. Why won't the Lord do something? Why won't the Lord move? Well, one day the Lord will come back and there'll be no more waiting. Each and every one of us have tears of some kind. Some of us struggle because of health issues. Some of us struggle because of loss. Some of us struggle because of persecution. Some of us struggle because of some kind of heartache, one way or another. Peter said to cast all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. I'm thankful that there is a temporary help right now. But one day there'll be a permanent help. It won't be the Lord just putting a plaster over things for now while we're on earth. But one day he'll wipe away all tears. No more tears because of death. No more tears because of heartache. No more tears because of persecution. No more tears because of waiting for his return. I'm thankful that I know him as my Savior. Persecution may come, but the Lord is going to return. And one day he'll wipe away every single tear we've ever shed. Maybe you're here today and you have no idea what I'm talking about. Maybe you were here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And after listening to the message, they maybe think, well, why would I want to trust him if persecution is going to come? I would rather face persecution on this planet for knowing him as my Savior than go through this life like a breeze and then have him say to me, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I'm glad I know him as my Savior. Yes, life is hard, but one day every single tear will be wiped away. And that can keep us going. That gives us the encouragement that we need. That gives us the excitement that we need. Yes, this loss is hard, but one day God will wipe away that tear. Yes, this persecution's a nightmare because I can't take it much longer. But one day God will wipe away those tears. This heartache is a nightmare because the family's done this, the kids have done this, the situation is too much, or this is happening. But guess what? One day, when the Lord returns, I'll be taken care of. What are you shedding tears for today? Maybe you need the Lord to come up to you right now and just say, child, I've got you. You know, when the Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon ye. Because his burden's light You might think, well, a yoke is something that depicts work. You put a yoke on an animal to work. But we don't go through this life as an easy breeze. It is a work. So I would rather be yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to take the load than try and do it myself, because we can't. Maybe you need to come to him this morning for salvation. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Maybe you need rest from sin today. If you call upon his name, he'll save you. Maybe you need rest from sorrow today. If you come to him, he'll wipe those tears away. At the moment, it'll be temporary, because we'll shed tears again tomorrow. But one day it'll be permanent, and there'll be no more tears in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day and for this time together. We just ask now that you'd continue to speak to our hearts. And for those who are hurting and struggling today, I pray that you would just comfort each and every one. Father, we recognize that life is full of tears, is full of heartache, is full of pain, is even full of loss. But one day those tears will be wiped away. There'll be no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more heartache, no more death, no more parting. And Father, we look forward to that day when every single tear is dried up. And all we are able to do then is simply praise and worship you as you deserve. Father, we just ask now that your hand of blessing would be upon each and every person gathered here today and watching online. For we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We stand and sing our last hymn together. Are you trusting Jesus? In a word of prayer, if I could ask the men, if you were thinking of going on the men's retreat, if you could just pop down the front and see me ever so quickly, I will keep you 5 minutes. If nobody's thinking of going on the men's retreat, that's fine. That makes my question even easier to answer. But if you're thinking of going on the men's retreat, if you can just come and see me for literally 2 minutes at the front of the church, that'll be wonderful. And then just to remind everybody, choir practice 4:30 today, for everybody. We've got 2 practices left before we do this, and this is our first time coming together for a full practice, so we may need a full practice on Wednesday as well. So choir practice 4:30 today. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask Brother Dave Selleck if he closes us in a word of prayer. Thanks, Brother Dave.